4 of the Vision to Victory classes that we have put together for the Fountain of Faith. We pray that you all are safe and well and abiding by the laws of the land and are remaining quarantined to the best of your ability and being wise about how we conduct ourselves on a daily basis. It is 7:03. We do know that some of us have more difficulty than others getting logged on. So we will go ahead and give folks a few more minutes to pop in. I'm seeing that more participants are joining as I'm speaking, which is a good thing. And I don't really want to have anybody miss out on what we have planned for this evening. So if you have an opportunity as well, it's always good to have a Bible handy. Brother Phil, who is one of our producers this evening, Brother Phil and Brother Wynn, they will be able to have some type of version up on the screen as we're going through this class. But it's always good to kind of see it yourself. This way you can kind of navigate the Bible and really get used to flipping back and forth to specific books. All right, so we do have Sister Rachel Haywood with us this evening, who will be manning the chat room. So if you do have any questions or any comments, please feel free to go to the bottom of your toolbar and you will see a chat box, and then type in your chat. And if you have any questions, we will go ahead and answer them. We also will have a poll question where we're hoping that you will put in responses to the poll question. So we're going to go ahead and get started. Thank you again. So let's pray. Most gracious and everlasting Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, thank you for keeping us, Lord. Thank you for just keeping us throughout this entire global crisis, Father God, and giving us the peace that surpasses all understanding, guarding our hearts and our minds in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, they've closed the church, but we are the church, Father God, not four walls or a building, but the body of Christ. And Lord, as you have commanded us, we are continuing to grow in the knowledge of you. We pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, you give us the anointing that makes teaching effective and listening easy. Lord, just go deep down into our hearts and write your word on the tablets of our hearts so that we may not sin against you. Enable us to understand what you choose for us to communicate, what you're choosing to communicate to us during this season, and not only understand it, but to apply it to our daily lives. Thank you for every single person who is on here, every family that's represented. Continue to cover us by your blood, Christ. And Lord, give a special blessing to those who have worked to put this webcast together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, Brother Wynn, our first slide. Okay, so this is our Vision to Victory Introduction to the Commitment to Ministry. This is our third class of 4. Next slide. So our signature scripture is Habakkuk 2, 1 and 4. And Pastor did, he tailored the specific scripture for 2020. And it reads as follows. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. Amen. So we're in that time right now. We're in the time that the currency of the kingdom of God is through faith. And all throughout the New Testament, it talks about faith and what it takes to be able to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We walk by faith and not by sight. And we who are in Christ are justified. So here the prophet was prophesying, the just shall live by faith. Next slide. So we have four classes that we put together, and hopefully you have been with us for the previous two classes, the commitment to membership and the commitment to maturity, and this is the commitment to ministry. And those, if you remember, when Pastor had first introduced us to this concept, he introduced us to a baseball stadium, and that each of the classes would resemble each base within baseball. First base being membership, second base being maturity, and now third place is ministry, and home plate being missions. Next slide. So in Pastor Newman's vision, he called us. He was calling us in the beginning of the year to strengthen the fountain of faith in order to fulfill God's purpose for the church. And there are specific dynamics that are needed to be able to strengthen the church. God has given our under shepherd a vision. He has given him a vision to write down what we just read from Habakkuk. And in order to do that, there's specific steps that need to take place. So in order for the steps to be taken place, the entire congregation basically has to shift from being on first base, which is being members, not just hanging out there, but to being members who are actively engaging. You shouldn't really see every single time that there's an event or anything that needs to get done, the same people who are doing all of the work and people sitting back and watching. We even though our introduction to this topical series is a baseball stadium, and there's more spectators, right, than people who are involved in the actual game itself, everybody should barely be involved. Because if you are a Christian, right, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you're saved. And with that confession, you have the Holy Spirit within inside of you. And when the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit, he's given you specific gifts, and those gifts are to be utilized for the church. And Pastor Newman saw a fountain of faith developing a deeper connection with each other. And in order for us to be able to have a deeper connection to each other, we need to know that just like our hands and our feet are connected for the benefit of the individual body, each member of the church body is connected and has an important role in the church body functioning to its full potential. We don't want to be working at half mass or 75% or 90%. You know that old song, 99 and a half won't do? We need to be at 100% to function to its fullest potential. So in order to achieve this vision to victory, there's a process by which we need to go through in order to get to home plate, which is worldwide missions. And is this a huge divine mandate? Absolutely. Absolutely. Next slide, please. And I think I'm getting some chats that folks are not looking, they would a different view. I'm seeing, Brother Wynn. Is it possible to change the color of the folks who are saying that it's a little difficult? Okay, they're working on it, everyone. Okay, good. So while they're working on it, we're going to have a poll question. And like I said earlier, and like we've done in other weeks, if you could go ahead and put your comments or your answers in the chat box, that'll work. So I'm going to ask you specifically, why are there different ministries within the church? Why do you think that there are different ministries within the church? And I'm going to give you guys a few minutes to kind of answer that question.
Okay, so we have an answer that says because we all have different gifts in which we operate. Another answer says because we each have different gifts. Multitudes of gifts. Different people have different needs that must be addressed or met in and outside of the church. Different functions are needed to be covered with our gifts. One body, many members, all are important.
I like that one right there, that there's different ministries in the church, but they are equally important, okay? Why are they equally important? Because we are all made in the image of God. God is no respecter of persons. Next slide, please. Thank you. All right, so we've gone through, this should say third base. We've gone through first base, we've gone through second base, and now we are on third plate, which is ministry. Next page. And Brother Phil, can you pull up our scripture, 1 Corinthians 12:27?
Say First Corinthians
12:27.
I apologize, Reverend Driver. Okay, 1 Corinthians.
Yes, 12:27.
I got it.
Got it. You don't.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So all of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here, Paul has written down here that every member ought to engage in ministry. Ministry is an intentional act of service to help someone else. So it's just not something it just doesn't fall on you. It's intentional. It's a sacrifice. You've got to be able to go forward with it. In church, we typically encourage new members, right, to participate in a ministry after they attend our membership classes. And you can go back to the slides. Thanks. After the Members in Motion classes, we encourage our members to involve themselves in a ministry. And that is where spiritual maturity starts kicking in. And last week we went through that class, and spiritual maturity prepares us for ministry. As you prayerfully consider a ministry, it's crucial that you walk in spiritual maturity. Now, I'd like for some folks in the chat box to kind of throw out to me what you remember about spiritual maturity from last week. As you prayerfully consider a ministry, it's crucial that you walk in spiritual maturity. So what do you remember from spiritual maturity of last week? You can go ahead and type that in. No responses?
Someone says, we have, you become a leader, our heart changes.
Okay.
Forgiveness.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Let me read this scripture, Romans 12:6-13. 15. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads, leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. So it's very clear how the Bible teaches that every member ought to engage in ministry and that it's an intentional act of service to help someone else. Next slide.
Next slide.
Here we go. Thank you. So here the Apostle Paul, he's outlining a variety of spiritual gifts, and you will also see spiritual gifts broken down a little bit more in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But here in Romans, we just read, the Apostle Paul, he's outlining a variety of spiritual gifts, and he's giving instruction on how the believer is to deliver ministry through the gifting of God. So it's through the gifting of God. You just can't go out and self-proclaim yourself to do something, okay? This is a gift from God. Remember, we talked about being completely and truly knowing that you are regenerated, which means that here you have turned from your old life and you have turned towards God. You have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. There's no doubt in your mind that when you leave this earth, you will be with the Lord. When that regeneration happens, the Holy Spirit is then downloaded into our spirit. We are now, the Spirit indwells in our spirit. And once the Spirit indwells in our spirit, we are given gifts. So we can't self-proclaim ourselves to be, well, my grandmother had a dream that I was going to pastor a church. It doesn't work like that. It works that it is a gift from God. So the purpose of this class is to assist our membership to working in the ministry in which we have been called. It's a gift from God through the Holy Spirit that God has called us to work in. And in order to be successful in ministry, we've got to be spiritually mature. And that's why Pastor was very adamant, and he stressed that after membership, your next step is maturity. You cannot work in ministry unless you're mature. Why? Because offenses will come. You've got to be able to have the opportunity to be able to, when Jesus says, if they slap you on one cheek, to turn the other one and give them the other one, or to give them your coat, to walk 2 miles extra, you've got to be able to keep it moving, because offenses will come, and Satan will enable offenses to come for you to stop doing what you've been called to do. And when you stop doing what you've been called to do, the work of the church stops, okay? Can somebody fill in for you? Absolutely. But it's not going to be as effective because you have been for such a time as this. So maturity is paramount to working in ministry. And because in ministry you will encounter certain circumstances, it's going to require that you are mature enough to continue in that ministry. And I always say that spiritual maturity has nothing to do with chronological age. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Spiritual maturity has nothing to do with chronological age. Let that sink in a little bit. Next slide, please. So Colossians 3:23 and 24 teaches us that we are accountable and rewarded for ministry. Work willingly at whatever you do, as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. You're not working in ministry for the pastor. You're not working in ministry for your girlfriends, for a sorority, a fraternity. You're working for the Lord, okay? And that's the only prize that your eye should be on. And in the New Testament, ministry was seen as a service to God and other people in the name of the Lord. Just like Jesus Christ came here on earth, he came because the Lord, because God the Father sent him, and he worked for people. He was a servant to everybody who he encountered. That's how we need to have that paradigm shift in our mind, that we are working in ministry as a service to God and to people in the name of the Lord. Amen. Next slide. So how do you know what your spiritual gift is? Your spiritual gift comes by you beginning to pray that you are able to recognize your spiritual gift. In the members in motion class that we have, there's a spiritual gift inventory that is given as one of the second to the last classes. And it really allows you to kind of see exactly where you are placed in the body of Christ. And if you have an opportunity or haven't had that inventory done on you in quite a while, it might behoove you to go ahead and see if you could really take advantage of that tool. But begin by praying. What are you able to recognize as your spiritual gift as being? And your gift is maximized when it's used in the right ministry setting. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that everybody can kind of fill in. You know, when you go through school, there's substitute teachers, there's substitute professors, right? And some of them are really Johnny on the spot, but some are just there, what, for the paycheck. And that's kind of how it is with ministry. When you have people working in ministry that is not in their spiritual gift, they can get the job done, but it's not as effective, right? It doesn't stick, right? It's not that piercing. It's not, you don't see that anointing. It's just kind of like a filler. And that's not what God wants for his church. We shouldn't just be bringing God just anything because there's a void, right? If everybody was operating in their spiritual gift, other people wouldn't have to be substitutes for certain work that needs to go on in the church. Proverbs 18:16 tells us that giving a gift can open doors. And it gives access to important people. Your gift will make room for you. When you are truly operating in your gift, God opens doors. He puts you before great men. His word does not return void. It's truly amazing how when you subject yourself to the Lord and enable him to give you not the desires of your heart, but the ability to see clearly where he has placed you in the body, you will be placed in situations and positions where you could never dream of. And it's truly amazing. And I pray that is an experience that we all can have. The Bible teaches us that spiritual gifts are important, and your spiritual gifts becomes an indicator of the ministry you can best perform in the church. Next slide. All right. So in 2 Corinthians 12, 12 to 24, and I want you to jot this down. We can put it in the chat room as well. I'm not going to read it, but it presents an excellent illustration on the dependent nature of the spiritual gifts of the body of Christ. And what I mean by the dependent nature of the spiritual gifts is that we all depend on one another. The head is no more important than the knee, and the thigh isn't any important than the kidneys. Everything is interrelated, and they all depend on one another. And it's important to understand that when you walk in your spiritual gift and in that area and you do ministry, you complete the body of Christ. And I totally and wholeheartedly believe, and this is a Lisa-ism, that when God births a body, that he does not birth deformity, okay? And what I mean by that is when God births a body of Christ as a church, that every spiritual gift that is within the Bible is within that church. And it's there. Whether or not it's being utilized is a different story. Whether or not we all see it may not be the case, but God doesn't birth deformity. And so every single gift that is listed in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is in the body, is in the fountain of faith. And it's a matter of us being able to extract that so everybody can operate within their gift. If you don't see specific gifts operating within the fountain, it's because, number one, either people have not recognized that they have that gift, or number two, they might not feel confident enough to walk in that gift. So we have to be able to prepare the ground and the soil for people to be able to feel comfortable to be able to utilize their gifts. I don't want people always equate the fact, right, that if certain gifts hold certain importance, and then that automatically means that they have a specific role, right? Amen? But that is not always the case. Just because you might be operating in a leadership capacity does not always mean that you have a quote unquote leadership gift. And I'm not saying this as an offense to anyone, but you've got a lot of people sitting in pews, right, that have gifts that can be utilized for the entire body, but because they might not feel that they're a trustee or a deacon or on the pulpit, that they can't use those gifts. But that's not the case. We've got to be able to encourage people to show that your gift is important, and no matter what position you are in the church, it needs to come forward, because for the work of the church to be effective and for it to go to the heights that the Lord wants it to go to, everybody has to be in place. Amen? Everybody has to be in place. So hopefully you're able to understand that what you bring to the church is vitally important. And if you don't walk in your gift area and do ministry, the rest of the church suffers. When people are out of place, the church suffers. Next slide. Amen. So commitment to ministry, making a difference in the world. In Matthew 5:13 reads, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men." Salt is of no use if it remains in the shaker. To be effective, it must come out of the shaker. And the same way is true of us as Christians. You have a gift. You know what your gift is. You may not know what your gift is, but once you know what your gift is, you got to use it. It's got to come out of the shaker. You can't keep it to yourself. That's how we make the difference, not only in the world, but in the church. Next slide. So to make a difference in the world, we can't just be salt at the church. We've got to be salt at home, at work, at school, everywhere. Jesus' prayer the night before his crucifixion, he said that he has brought glory to God the Father by completing the work the Father gave him to do. It was every single place that Jesus walked, he was salt. He was able to do the work that God called him to do, not just in the temple, right? Not just when he was with the 12, but every single place that he went, he changed lives. He made a difference. And that's what we are to do once we discover what our spiritual gift is. Next slide. And then our Lord prays, right? He prays, "As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I have also, so have I also sent them into the world." This statement, it's not only applies to his original disciples, but also to you and to me. It means that we're to bring glory to God the Father by completing the work he sent us here to do. If he had nothing for us to do the minute we became slaves, he would have took us home. Bottom line, he has left us here to do a specific work. And as a result of that, we are the salt of the earth. Next slide. Commitment to ministry? There we go. Thank you. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions and give you an opportunity to write it in the chat box. Why do churches have so many members who give little or no evidence of Christian commitment or even conversion? Give folks a few minutes to answer that in the chat box. Why do churches have so many members who give little or no evidence of Christian commitment or even conversion? Who's going to jump out there and give us an answer? No one? Well, I think, there we go.
They are at different bases. They may feel as though membership is enough. That's a good one.
That's a good one, yeah, absolutely. And that's really why we're putting on these classes.
They're not confident.
Mm-hmm.
Some are just interested in hearing the word and nothing else.
Those are good answers.
Some model errant behavior.
Okay, wow, that's deep.
Fear of failure.
Yeah, that goes along with being not confident. And I think that, okay, lack of faith.
Not sure how to go about getting involved, lack of faith.
Okay, excellent.
I believe this is saying church hurt.
Okay. And this is real. This is real stuff. And this is good for us to be able to see and hear, because we'll ask ourselves, well, why don't people get involved? And thank you for answering, because this lets us know what work we need to do. Because if people aren't feeling confident, or they're feeling that they might fail at what they do, or that they're unsure, or that their people are just modeling specific behaviors, or that they're at different bases, or that they feel that membership might be enough, that now that turns back to us and tells us what we need to do to be able to enable people to get up off the pew. It's not so much as people are being lazy, but they want to be able to do it and do it confidently and assuredly. So now the onus goes back to us. So how do we equip the saints, right? How do we equip the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ? Thank you so much for being honest. Thank you so much for being honest. And that kind of answers the second question, and I won't go ahead and I'll read it, but we won't have to answer it. Why do many churches find it difficult to motivate members to serve, give, pray, and share their faith? And I think you've already answered that, and I thank you again. Next slide. So 2 Corinthians 8:5, while we are pulling that up, or I can go ahead and pull that up, it might be a little bit quicker. 2 Corinthians 8:5 reads that, and this not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. We can go back to the slides. Thank you. While becoming a Christian means to commit yourself to Christ, becoming a church member means to commit yourselves to other Christians. Okay? So when you become a church member, you're committing yourself to other Christians. And the first Sunday, we read the church covenant, right? We have a covenant with each other. And in order to be, when we're involved in ministry and effectively involved in ministry, we are accountable to each other. We need to, my gift needs to be able to equip and sharpen your gift. Iron sharpens iron. I need to hear from those who minister through exhortation and encouragement through the choir. I need to be able to hear a word of knowledge. I need hospitality. And just like I need those things, you guys need teaching. Amen. So we become accountable to each other. We commit ourselves to Christ for salvation, and then we commit ourselves to each other, Christians, for membership in our church family. And the word ministry comes from the Greek word diakono, meaning to serve. Next slide. So serving the ministry of our church. There's three areas in which I'd like to close this out with. First would be by discovering my gifts and talents, by being equipped to serve by my pastor, and by developing a servant's heart. Next slide. So Romans 12:7 lists two gifts. The first gift is serving or ministry, which translates from the word that we get our deacon from. If service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, it is the gift of serving others in practical ways. And the other part of Romans 12:7 is the gift of the gift that they that Paul writes about is the gift of teaching, is proclaiming God's word to promote spiritual growth. Next slide. By discovering my gifts and talents, 1 Peter tells us in 4:10 that God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. So it's clear that we have been charged to serve one another by Paul and from Peter. When we use our God-given gifts to help others, the benefits it will yield for the kingdom of God is immeasurable. The devil wants to keep Christians ignorant so they will not use their spiritual gifts. And when we don't use our spiritual gifts, we do not advance the kingdom of God. We have to work together in ministry, whether our ministry is public or whether we're behind the scenes. And once again, once we discover what that gift is and we work in ministry, we're advancing the kingdom of God. And that's a stronghold of the devil, is when he doesn't want people to feel confident about their gift, because he knows that when one person is missing, it's going to take things that much longer to get done. So we have to discover our gifts and talents. Next slide. So investigate, participate, evaluate, dedicate, and cultivate. So investigate the gifts listed in the Bible. Learn what they are. We shared in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and then participate in the ministry of our church to find what fits you and discover your gift. Pastor always says that you're not sure, start with the homeless ministry. And I've got here that if you haven't found your gift yet, you haven't participated in enough ministries. Okay? We are all on this bus. It's a journey. And sometimes we need to stop the bus so we can change seats. We're not stopping the bus so people can get off the bus, but sometimes we need to change seats, okay? So if you haven't found your gift yet, you haven't participated in enough ministries. Next slide. After participating in various areas of ministry, evaluate it. Ask yourself, did I enjoy that? Did it seem to fill a deep desire in my heart? Fulfilling desires of our hearts is one way God reveals our spiritual gifts. Using your spiritual gift produces indescribable joy and fulfillment. You truly are fulfilled. I cannot tell you what that feels like. And a lot of you already know when you're operating in your spiritual gift. I know a lot of us were on, and I see the participants, and I see you guys walking in your gifts. You know when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and the joy that God gives you is truly indescribable. And Christ said that I've come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. And that's a part of that abundant life. When you walk in your spiritual gift and then you get that joy that's indescribable from operating in your gift, that's a part of that abundant life. When you have discovered your gift or gifts, dedicate them to the Lord. This means you'll use them exclusively for his purpose and his glory. Yeah, we could go out in the world and maximize our gifts. And well, probably a lot of us are utilizing some of our gifts to some extent to that the Lord provides, gives us provision for. But the majority of the time or the fervency of the utilization of our gifts should be in the church for his purpose and his glory. Next slide. So for the rest of your life, once you find what your gift is to operate in ministry, you should cultivate your gift by using it, by developing it, through ministering to others. Their gifts are like seeds, and they grow, and they produce fruit when they're properly cultivated through use. And if you do not use your spiritual gift, it will become a dormant seed. But if you use your gift, you will learn to exercise it more proficiently. Amen. And it will be more and more a blessing to you and the church. The more you use it is the more it grows and the more proficient you'll be at it. And the Lord just enables you to operate in so many different capacities. 1 Corinthians 14:12, part of it reads, strive to excel in building up the church. Remember, this is from membership to maturity, to ministry, to missions. Next slide. So we also need to be by being equipped to serve by my pastors. And what do we mean by that? Meaning that sometimes your pastor will be able to see things in you that you might not see not in yourself. God has probably already shown you, but your pastors will confirm that in you. And sometimes when your pastor calls you to serve as maybe a ministry leader or a trustee or some other capacity, he sees something and he knows where God is taking you. And we have to be open to being equipped to be to serve by your pastor. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 reads, now this is talking specifically about the fivefold body of the ministry, but now there are gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work, to build up the church, the body of Christ. Equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. Any questions in the comments, Sister Rachel? Any questions? Okay, great. Next slide, thank you. So lastly, by developing a servant's heart. That's another way in which this is the final topical area I want to cover, a servant's hands and a servant's heart. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others, but be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges, talking about Jesus Christ. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. He had a servant's hand and a humble heart. And we are to basically replicate that to the best that we can. He came to serve, not to be served. And serving in the ministry of the church has three specific areas. First, we have to discover our gifts and talents, and then we need to be equipped, if necessary, to be served by our pastors. But finally, we have to develop a servant's heart. Next slide. And these are just some questions that will be online for you. Next slide. Go back. Thank you. So ministry progression, what will you do to progress into becoming more active in the church? And this time, these past 8 weeks that we have been apart, seven, 8 weeks, it's been a time of reflection, hopefully for a lot of us. And I think that these classes are right on time for when we are able to congregate and get back to a congregate setting to really see that God has used this season to show us that he's calling his church to a higher level, that a great revival is taking place in the land, I've heard so many different interpretations, but truly, 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 time is winding down. And maybe not in our generation or our kids, but certainly the trumpet has sounded and the virgins have been awakened. And it is certainly time for us to understand that we need to work while we can work. And there is so much for us to be able to do to advance the kingdom of Christ. And I hope you have enjoyed this teaching. They are on the website, fully recorded, our membership, maturity, and this class, ministry. Our commitment to missions will be our final class next week, last time. And I am thanking again our producers for this webcast. And now we'll ask Pastor Newman if he has any words to encourage us and close us out. Thank you so much, everyone.
Amen, church. Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
All right. Sound off. I just want to just thank Reverend Driver, Rachel Haywood, and Dr. Bassett for a job well done. You all have done an excellent job. Can we just give them a great big amen?
Yes. Yes.
We're looking forward to next week on mission, and I'm praying that the Lord will accomplish a work in us, that we move from membership and go all the way around the base path till we get to mission. God bless you, and thank you so very much.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Can someone close it with a word of prayer?
Father God.
Sister Ophelia.
Okay. Father God, we have sat before you this evening, Lord. We sat before you in the way that you have orchestrated, Lord God, and we thank you, Lord, for Zoom. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, Lord, to be able to come together, Lord, in spite of what we're going through. We may not be able to touch or see each other individually, but God, you have made a way. And we thank you for that way, God. Lord, we thank you for the vision, Lord, as we move toward victory, Lord. Lord, we just ask that all that are in attendance of these sessions, Father God, that they will take away with them, Lord, what God has for them. And if they don't know their gift, God, there is an avenue to get it, Lord, by reading your word, as well as attending the class and members in motion. Lord, we just ask now that everyone's household, Father God, is safe, Lord, that everyone is abiding by the laws, Lord, and the rules that have been put in place, Father God, and be mindful of those around you, Father God, because everyone does not have the same heart that we do, Lord God, or that you do, Father God, as a Christian, Lord God. There's been evidence, Lord, that people are coughing on others, touching others. A man in the news wiped his face on a worker's garment, Lord. So please just be mindful and be very careful whatever you do and wherever you go. Now, God, I thank you, Lord, for this gathering. And I just ask that your word continue to go forward, Lord, as we continue to study. I pray and thank you for our pastor, Lord, First Lady, and all our leaders, Lord, in the absence of the presence, Lord.
Yes,
and thank you for the Sunday services, Lord God.
Yes, God.
All those, the word still goes forward. And you said, Lord God, in your word, that it will not come back void nor nigh. So we thank you, God.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
And I just pray over everyone's household. You are safe and you are comfortable.
Yes.
In Jesus'
name. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Good night.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.